Hey, it's Brie Bagwell with your OnlyFans Breecap. And Kat Hasty and I have one of the most effortless conversations for two girls that almost never get to see one another, both being on the road like crazy. I have mad respect for Kat, and I was thrilled she took time out of her busy festival day at the awesome 8750 Festival in Red River, New Mexico, to chat with me at the legendary Motherlode Saloon. She has great style, and somehow I got distracted and didn't tell her how much I love Double Take Vintage in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And you'll see she has a super fun and magnetic personality. Drowning in Dreams was her record released in 2021, and Time of Your Life was in 2025, both of which are awesome and authentic. Go to kathasty.com for music and tour dates, and new music is on the way, she tells us. And oh my gosh, guys, since this came out, the Mini Winnie, Kat's traveling RV that we talk about, caught on fire. Her and her band are okay, but holy moly, someone buy that girl a new Sprinter ASAP. Thanks for chatting, Kat, and I am taking you up on that offer to interview me on my own podcast, for real. Enjoy, y'all.
Sometimes I feel like I don't want to look stupid online. And, like, sometimes I'm like, I could do this trend or something if that's what people are doing to be viral or whatever. I'm like, but it's stupid. I don't want to do that. Wait,
what if I don't want to do that because I don't like the way it looks? And when I watch other people do it, it makes me cringe.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm not going to do that. Yeah. No matter if it makes me viral and famous, I'm not going to do it.
Totally.
Hey, everybody. This is Brie Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
You're talking about hiking?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm winded. Where did you hike at?
Oh, well, we were in Santa Fe all week.
So were we.
Shut up.
What the hell? What? I've been shopping in Santa Fe for the last 72 hours. Like, freaking.
And I haven't seen you there?
We've been hanging out. Yeah. What have you been doing?
Well, okay, let me tell you. We'll just start like this. This will be the start of the podcast. Okay. My boyfriend, when we met, he was telling me how his grandparents bought a house in Santa Fe in the 60s or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's it. I'm done. This is my person forever. Aww. So we get to go stay there for free. Mm-hmm. It's right off the plaza. Mm-hmm. So we've been shopping and hiking all week. And you were there and I didn't see you.
Yeah.
What'd you buy?
Do you go to Desert Moss Vintage? Do you go to Double Take? Do you go to Cowboys?
We went to one.
Tell me where you're going.
Two vintage stores, but they were still very expensive.
Were they? Mm-hmm. Double Take has. Are we rolling?
Sure.
Okay.
I like to just roll and not tell anybody when we start.
I have to take this mint out of my mouth. It's going to be in my cheek this whole time. I'm sorry.
You know, I sing with a cough drop in my mouth.
Do you really?
My producer, she'll be like, do you have candy in your mouth? Because she can hear the click in my teeth whenever we're recording.
Wait, every show or just when you have a cough drop?
Every show.
Really? Probably is good for your throat.
It keeps me from coughing. Or I think it's mental. Every time I'm about to go on stage, I feel like I have to cough.
Interesting.
Do you have a weird stage thing like that?
Yes, but I can't say it on the podcast.
Is it the Kevin Fowler thing?
Yeah. Well, this is probably. I feel like it's a really common thing to have.
Yeah.
I saw a drummer last night, and he was keeping tempo with his gum chewing, and I was like, damn, your jaw. You can get some TMJ, but
whose drummer was that? Waltz?
It was the guy that played last night after
Matt Kirk?
Matt Kirk. Okay,
they're great.
He was cool. The saxophone player was getting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I see bands like that, I'm like, how are you affording all those instruments?
Yeah, no kidding.
But good job.
I wish I had a saxophone. Actually, some new songs we have, I wish I had a trumpet player. I think it's cool.
What do you mean new songs? Like,
oh, we have so much new music coming out. Yes. Yes. I waited, it took me like 5 years to put out another album. We did that at my drummer's studio. We got it out, and I have written so much music in the last 5 years, and so we're finally, I have two EPs recorded, and then we're working on three for
Holy
the rest
cow.
Of the year, so we have a ton of music coming out.
Are you going to call it three P's?
Three P's, no. It's kind of like goes in chronological order over like the last, everything I've been through in the last 5 years. It's kind of all storytelling that coincides with each other.
Yeah.
And so
I feel like that's your deal, like you write real stuff about, like, nothing that you sing is ever makes me go, I wonder if that's real. I mean, it just seems like it can only come from a place of like true authenticity. Like,
well,
that's how I feel like you're writing
is.
So, I appreciate that.
So is it like three different chapters, kind of?
Kind of. It's kind of, so I'm finally leaving West Texas. I'm going to move to Fort Worth at the end of this year. Actually, I don't do a lot of podcasts, but I went on a podcast last year and I told them I was leaving Fort Worth. And everyone probably thought I was a liar because I'm still in West Texas, but I'm finally making the move and doing it.
You are.
And it's kind of, it's about... I have one EP, it's called Bad Woman, and it's kind of about my youth in West Texas and all the drunken nights and the rough folks out in West Texas and how that kind of made me. And then it kind of goes in order of getting out of West Texas and how I'm kind of leaving some of my youth behind and growing up a little bit and entering into, you know, the industry and becoming more of a professional and a woman and,
Man, I feel like that is the track that we're all on, and now all of the people that are a little bit older than me are all like getting sober, and I was well, maybe I'm on my way there too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you see, but it definitely, when you first start, it's the most fun thing in the world. So sometimes people don't understand, or you're like, it was the most fun thing in the entire world to start a band, go on the road, and have unlimited alcohol.
Yeah.
Like, and you should be able to experience those things, and then you should be able to be like, okay, I did that, now I need to take a turn and, you know, like you said, get a little bit more professional, but still fun.
You know what? And it is fun. And you know what I think? And this might just be my personal perspective, especially because, which I've talked about having a little bit of trouble with alcohol when I was younger and stuff, which I'm now much more moderate on my alcohol usage, but I've actually enjoyed being more of a serious musician and learning more and being kind of like a nerd in the studio and perfecting my songs than I really did enjoy being like a drunk musician. Like, I think that I had a lot of fun during that phase in my life, but I feel more productive and I feel more self-confidence being more of a, not that I am an adult. Some of y'all are probably like, I saw you drunk the other day. But like, I've definitely matured a lot. And I think that I like being around working musicians that are working hard and making professional decisions and things like that.
Right. I mean, Adam Hood and I just talked about that too. You know, showing up on time and being prepared and not blowing out my voice. I used to do that quite a bit, blowing out my voice. Same, because it's hard to turn down a party. Or when you're starting and you're opening up. When you're opening for people all the time, then you're selling merch while the headliner's on and you're screaming all night. And it's like,
totally.
You can't help that.
Totally.
So then you become the headliner, and then there's kind of a more sense of, you know, making sure the tickets are sold, and that burden becomes a little heavier.
Yeah.
I think.
Definitely.
Right? I don't know.
Definitely. I agree. A big reason that I've slowed down on my drinking is because it's affected my voice so much.
Yeah.
And so I really only drink if it's like the last night of our run or something and, you know, I'm having fun. But it messes up my voice. And I think that's probably a God thing that happened to me, because it's like, hey, chill out. You gotta work. Time to work, not time to party every night.
That's really funny, because I have a friend who calls me Saturday Brie or whatever. And he'll look at my calendar and he's like, okay, I'm coming to this show because it's I get Saturday Brie, which is significantly more fun than Wednesday, Thursday Brie.
That's the truth. Yes, yes. See, that's what I mean. That's what I mean by maturing. It's like organized chaos. Yes.
Totally. And that's what has to happen. And I get so jealous because I read this thing that actually male vocal cords are built differently than
female
vocal cord. Like, it's muscles.
Mm-hmm.
So they just have different muscles. So, you know, my boyfriend or Courtney and I talk about it a lot, just about how a boy can go get drunk, stay up all night, or I've seen Stoney and he can still sing like a bird, and I can't.
I don't even know some of these bands that we're seeing all the time on the road. I don't know how they're like genuinely functioning. Because if I'm hungover, I'm in bed till 3. I don't know how they're partying every night and like getting up and actually going to play a show. That's superhuman, like, actually.
I know. Good for that. We were in Nebraska, and we were leaving because we had to leave at 6 a.m. We were leaving Bucks, and in walks them Dirty Roses. And they were like, let's go drink. I said, we have to leave at 6 a.m. They're like, doesn't matter. Anyway, we didn't stay, but apparently they walked out of the bar at, like, 6 in the morning.
Well, last time I got really, really drunk was in Mile Zero, and they were there. And they were just another day for them. It was a crazy day for me, but just another day for them.
They're way younger than I am, but they were delightful. And I was
they were really fun.
I told them, like, 10 years ago, Brie, we would have been firing gasoline. So we just didn't meet at the right time. But for me, it was William Clark Green and, you know, Stoney.
Yeah.
And, like, so it's like, I did my time with the partying. And that's so, I think that that's really good for us to talk about, because I think there is a pressure to, when you're the Texas girl, that's that you have to be fun, and you have to, and you write songs about having fun, and at the same time, it's, you know, inspiring to other musicians to be like, oh, I don't have to be drunk all the time. In fact, you know, it's not good for my craft.
No, I agree. And actually, you know, I think that might be, it's either a change in the culture that's happening right now, or it might be something that we actually project onto ourselves. Because when I've come out about like getting sober and stuff, like I've had a couple of stints where I was sober for a year, and overall developed just a better relationship with alcohol. But people have been very supportive. People have been, it's almost gained me kind of like a group of people who really I feel are more like me, like a fan base that's more like me and a fan base that relates to me more because they have the same struggles or because they're growing in the same way. I mean, everybody has kids and is getting married and is growing up now, right. You know, and we put it on ourselves like, yeah, we got to take shots on stage. We got to party and we got to put on this, but you don't.
Right.
Honestly, there's a lot of people getting sober. There's a lot of people that want to just listen to music where it's like real and authentic, and it doesn't have anything to do with throwing beers in, on stage,
right.
You know? Yeah.
And a lot of times I'll look down, and one time I looked down, there was like 14 shots, which is hilarious. There's like four of us on stage.
And you're like 90 pounds. I'm like, what do you think
I'm going to
do with those?
And I'm also like, can I have the cash option?
No,
that's like $100 worth
of
alcohol.
Seriously.
Like, let me just have the cash option.
Yes.
That makes me
go
crazy.
Go buy some merch, yeah. Please.
Right, or buy a t-shirt that will last forever rather than a shot that I don't want. Paul and I talk about it all the time. People want to buy us shots, and it's like, I almost never want one.
Yeah.
Like, almost never. Mm-hmm. I might before the show, like a little sip of whiskey or whatever to kind of chill out. But
yeah.
I almost never want a shot.
Yeah.
Let's put that as a PSA.
No, I was in College Station, and of course, like, you know, college party town, they bought me a shot, and I was like, you know what? I really don't drink on stage much at all. And I was like, I'll take it. And I swear to God, I almost turned around and threw up. I was like, nope. I'm way too old for this now.
I saw that show at the Tap online. I just saw the post about it. And
it was fun.
It looked awesome. I mean, packing out the Tap like that, and people were singing every word, and you have really tapped into that market, which is really hard to do. But that looked like a blast. I love the Tap.
I love the Tap, too.
And it was, like, rocking. Did you sell it? It, like, looked sold out.
No, we didn't sell it out.
Well, it had to be very close.
Yeah, we just had, you know, the thing, those, like, 18 through 22-year-old girls, they just go crazy. And I love it. And they make enough noise for a sold-out show.
All my fans have grown up with me, so like my fans are all, you know, like you said, they all got kids or they're all having to get babysitters, and so I don't know if I'll ever be cool with that age group again.
Dude, there's an age group that you know, you go through phases in life, and your fans will grow with you.
Yeah.
You know, just like, honestly, just like Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how people have grown with her of all ages. Like, I was listening to Taylor Swift at, you know, like 12 or something.
Yeah.
And then now, like, she's grown into a woman. And I don't know if you even listen to Taylor Swift at all. I do love a lot of Taylor Swift's songwriting.
I do too.
And like her Folklore and Evermore albums, you know, they have adult themes. They're very sophisticated, honestly, her writing. And I think that's like beautiful. Let them grow with you. Don't cater to the audience that you've passed. Because I feel like I don't try to do that. But sometimes I feel in the back of my mind, I'm like, my party audience isn't going to vibe with this. You know what I mean? And then, but you can't look at stuff that way as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to put it out there, and the audience that loves it will find it, you know?
Yeah, I love that. And I also love that the audience has grown up with me. They have more money now,
hell
too.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's okay.
Yes.
That's okay, too. But I also try not to think about that. Sometimes, you know, having a publishing deal or whatever, and then now I have just the types of instruments I have in my band. Sometimes I'll be writing or thinking in those terms, and it is really important to, like, strip it back to, okay, what's just the best song that I can write?
Totally.
And make it. But that is hard because you start to get in your head more and more as an artist. At least I do. I don't know.
Yeah, no. I think everybody's... Well, I was telling my drummer, he's over there, obviously, the people on the podcast.
And he loves dogs.
He does.
Yeah.
He was like, you know, the best stuff I've ever made, I made within 3 hours. And he's like, it's just something I wanted to do. And that's how I feel about Drowning in Dreams. Like, I was just writing songs,
right.
Like, for fun. I didn't think anybody was going to hear them. I mean, those songs were recorded in a bathroom on $500 worth of equipment, and... I just put them out, and I was like, I put them out because I want to. And then I gained some following, and now it's like every song I write, and I want to venture away from this, and I try really hard, but there is like a mental blockage where it's like, people are going to hear this. What are people going to think of this? You know, how personal can you get whenever people are so curious about your personal life? Or like, how, you know, is my audience going to like this? Just, you know, those things, I feel like they're inevitable to just circle in your mind.
Yeah. Or just, you know, I miss that innocence. And that was one of the things that I was going to ask you about, because Drowning in Dreams was 2021. Mm-hmm. But like the innocence of just loving to write songs and being so mm-hmm. excited to put something out. I really miss that time in my life. And mm-hmm. I long for that. Like I long for the times where totally. I was just loving to sing and loving to write. And like, I couldn't wait to write songs. And It goes away, and then you kind of second guess everything. And I asked Willie Brown from Reckless Kelly, and he goes, "Welcome to the rest of your life, kiddo." Because I think it never really goes away. Mm-hmm. But also, I think that it means that we're trying to make great art. Like, you know, we care.
Totally.
But mourning the loss of that innocence is something that I still do.
Well, and you know, I recently had somebody, I think a lot of that is, some of it is meeting the right people who are excited with you. Because, and I don't mean for this to be offensive, but I feel like people sometimes start getting too cool. They start getting too cool for the music. And, like, you want to make something, and they're just like, yeah, well, we need to do this or that or whatever. You rarely meet people in the music industry where it's, like, a producer or a song or a guitar player or a songwriter, and they're like, fuck, yeah, like, let's do this. I'm excited about this project. I want to do this. And I met someone recently who I'm going to record with, and he was that excited. And it made me – it gave me, like, a youthful sense of, like – oh my God, I'm excited to make music again. Like, this person believes in me, believes in what we're doing, and like, he's excited in a very like childlike way that's making me feel like, damn, like that innocence again, you know?
Oh, I'm so happy for you. And and that's totally right. And a lot of times it's so crazy because producers, I think sometimes, especially in Nashville, when I met with a few of them, they were like, well, what you need. And that used to drive me crazy. And I took my mom to all these meetings just because I wanted her to see mm-hmm. and help me decide. And then I met with Rachel Loy, and she was like, hell yeah, dude. And then that's who I record with now, because it was the same sentiment. And like, we just wrote a song about getting some wrinkles and like, how come we can't age, and how come people ask my boyfriend his birthday and then they're like, oh, don't ask Brie your birthday, you know, just the age thing. And mm-hmm. like being able to write a song where she's like, yeah, let's write a song about getting older. And there's no stigma with like, you can't do that, or you can't do this, or you should move this way, or mm-hmm. this is never gonna work. I feel you on that. I'm happy you found that. That's
I'm excited.
Great.
And you know, sometimes I hope everything goes well with this person I met, because I hope we share the vision, because I'm excited. I don't want to be let down. So
but you want to, like, that's, it's so weird because you're mm-hmm. going in to make it, just like songwriting, making records. It's so freaking vulnerable, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. yeah, and managers and all that. Like, the music business is so insane, and it's so like the people that I thought were going to really work out haven't sometimes, man. And that's a heartbreak.
And something too I've learned about like making records is like, it's always on a time crunch. And that's what I had a hard time with up in Nashville. I was like, I don't want to spend 4 days cutting 10 songs. Like, I want to go in and I want to make art that we all collaborate on and like have, you know, a fun experience, and everybody puts their heart into it and has this dream of making something. And it's hard to find those people. But I feel like when you do find those people, it's like, that's when actual, like, you know, magic happens.
And so, you know, oh my gosh. Well,
I hope you found that. And Rachel, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really lovely. Or at least we'll really work on pre-production on the songs for a long time.
Yeah.
And make, like, rewrite them. Like, she'll sit on the floor, and Brian Keene, they'll sit on the floor with me and like tear apart the songs and put them back together.
Love
and
that.
Make sure that they're right. And mm-hmm. I just never have found it. I had a lot of yes people early on too, who were like, oh, this is amazing.
Yes.
And I look back and like, that vocal take was so bad.
Yep.
I can't even listen to
yes,
it.
Yes, people are not your friend, man.
No.
I like, oh my God, some of my earlier stuff that's just so, I mean, God, a lot of my stuff that's terrible. I'll send it out and people just, I would honestly rather people critique my stuff and be honest than be nice. Because, I mean, that doesn't help you grow. It's like, thanks for the sweet little dopamine hit, but like, what can I improve, you know?
Yeah, and that's another part of getting older, is like being able to take criticism and mm-hmm. not. But at the same time, everyone wants to be a critic in the music business too. So then it's like, which ones do you sort through and which ones matter? And
totally.
That's very hard. And now I think it's just being surrounded by, I have a great team of people that I trust, and they, anything that they say to me, I don't think they say it in an offensive way.
Totally.
And that's...
totally.
Lucky.
I love that.
Yeah. Whew, it took a long time to get there, though. Yeah. And I wish I had them early on.
Yeah. No kidding. Well, also just people you respect. It's like, some people, their critique, you know, doesn't really matter that much. And then some people that I look up to, you know, I'm like, if you say something, I'm going to listen.
Absolutely. That's a question that I should ask you.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, he was talking to my boyfriend at Steamboat, and I said, And he said, Paul asked Adam Hood, how do you know when it's a good song? And he goes, oh, I know it's good because I get up and I point at my, and he goes like that.
Oh my God.
And it was so funny because I go through this thing where I'm not sure what's a good song
me
anymore.
Either not a clue. The song that took off on my album, I didn't even want to put on the record. Like, we were gonna cut it, and it's the one that, like, it's my most streamed song, and I'm like, I have no idea what's good. Also, my mom was the reason I put out Pretty Things. I didn't even want to put that out, and she was like, you have to put that song out. And I was just like, oh, whatever,
it's a great song
and thank you, but I don't know what's good.
That's so wild.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
Howdy, y'all. It's Bree Bagwell, and I know y'all support the people who support me, so let me tell you about Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Born and raised in Deep Ellum, Texas, Deep Ellum Brewing Company has really made its mark on the beer world. Known for its flagships, Dallas Blonde and Deep Ellum IPA, they put boring beers to shame with a full lineup that's unapologetically not brewed to style. My personal favorite is the Dallas Blonde. It is so easy to drink. I just took it home for the holidays, and my whole family was like obsessed with this beer. No joke. They drank it all. Thanks a lot, family. So head over to deepellumbrewing.com to open the beer vault and give your fridge what it deserves. And you'll see why love runs deep for Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Available in Texas and Oklahoma, side effects may include severe happiness. Deep Ellum Brewing Company products are for individuals 21 and older, and we encourage drinking responsibly. Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Breen Whiskey sent you. So you didn't know, like, you didn't, I mean, that was my question for you, was like, did you even know that Pretty Things? Like, did you have any expectation for what that was going to do for your career?
Not a clue. I don't know anything. Like, I don't know anything. And then some, it's kind of like telling a joke. Sometimes you put something like on Twitter and you're just like, oh, this is funny. This is the funniest thing I've ever said. This is going to go viral. And then like nobody likes it. And then I post something stupid, like me trying to get a cigarette through a chain link fence, and it's the most viral thing I've ever posted. And I'm like, I don't know what y'all think is funny at all.
Yeah, it's kind of hit or miss. And then the whole social media thing is just such a random. I wrote a silly parody of a Disney song and it went viral on TikTok, you know? And I'm like, here I am trying, because my team's like, okay, you got to play guitar and sing on your bed, you know? Okay, here's a very vulnerable song about heart break. And then they like the Disney princess, but I don't want to be the Disney princess parody girl. I want to be the girl that's selling out every room that I'm in.
Yes,
you know,
totally.
It's an always struggle. How do you feel about, I mean, the social media thing for me feels like a never ending to-do list that I can never cross off, and I struggle so much with like being vulnerable, but being like, everything's the best day of your life, and I want to be authentic, and I am very much, but I just feel like it's so confusing, and I'm always navigating, and I feel like I'm failing at all times.
I feel that it's very confusing as well. I actually recently told someone, like, I think in this industry, especially if you're like our age and you kind of miss the, like, because, you know, we didn't grow up with TikTok and Instagram and all that stuff. Like, we were barely on the cusp of, you know, like, social media coming into play. And I really think the best person you could have on your team as a musician is, like, a 21-year-old girl that just knows what's cool. Because I don't know what's cool, but my little cousins know what's cool. Like, they know what is cool more than I, who I think is cool, knows is cool.
Right.
And I think I struggle with the social media thing, too, because there's times where, like, I'll see somebody posting a story time and like everybody's just commenting and it's so funny and stuff. And then I'll post a story time and like nobody cares. And I'm like, I don't know what y'all like or want. And it's hard because you're like, it's just hard to understand. And so I plan on hiring a 21-year-old girl. That's my plan right
That's
now.
That's right. Well, and it might have just been the wrong time of day.
Yeah.
Or something. You know,
exactly.
Like, it might have just been the wrong time of day. I know. I have a 26-year-old tour manager. She was in one of your music videos, Ashley.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's
I
my tour manager.
She was your tour manager. That's great.
Yeah, she was
that.
In your music video, and she loves you. And we, whenever new stuff comes out that you put out, we always listen to it. But she knows what's cool. So I'm always like,
she knows what's cool.
Hey,
damn,
what's cool right now?
Hell
and
yeah.
Then sometimes she'll show me, and I'll be like, I'm not doing that.
No, seriously. I'm like, maybe I don't want to be cool or whatever.
Or I don't have time to be cool.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes I feel like there is this weird balance where, like, sometimes I feel like I don't want to look stupid online. And, like, sometimes I'm like, I could do this trend or something if that's what people are doing to be viral or whatever. I'm like, but it's stupid. I don't want to do that.
Wait, what if I don't want to do that because I don't like the way it looks? And when I watch other people do it, it makes me cringe.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm not going to do that. Yeah. No matter if it makes me viral and famous, I'm not going to do it. Totally. I know. I feel like that too. And a lot of times the team's like, get just videos of you touring. It's like, I have no time. Do you feel like
that's
that?
That's how I feel. I'm like, is like, maybe I need to hire someone to just follow me around with a camera all the freaking time.
Documentary. Yes. We should share that person.
Yes, because no kidding.
That would be great content, but I don't have time to do it myself.
Yeah, totally.
And my phone's always charging or dead, or someone has it.
My phone is literally always dead or lost. Yeah.
Lost or dead.
Well, this morning I left my phone to charge because I don't even have a charger on tour right now. I've been using theirs. Left it in their cabin, and they were still asleep, so I couldn't get a hold of them because I didn't have my phone and it was in their cabin. So I climbed up the ladder of my RV and I jumped onto their second story balcony. And I was like, wake up, wake up, wake up. And they were like, what the hell? I'm naked. And I was like, let me in. I got to get my phone and I got to go do things.
That's amazing. So that you broke in.
I did break in.
That and every time something like that happens, people say, well, just film it. I'm like, I can't. I don't have my phone. It's always lost or dead.
Mm-hmm.
Lost or dead. Kat Hasty. Love it. But that's hilarious. My mom's going to kill me when she watches this, but we have a secret lock latch on our RV door.
Yeah.
And somehow it just gets enough times where I close the door and the door locked behind me and I had my phone key. I was locked out and I was at an RV park by myself in East Texas and it was at night and it was cold. But I had my AirPods in. So I was like, hey Siri, call. And
nice.
I called Ashley, but her phone went straight to voicemail.
Where was everybody else?
I was just I was doing this songwriting workshop thing, going by myself, and my dog was in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so So I called my best friend, and then I said, my phone's about to die. She had my location randomly. And then my phone died, and I was just stuck outside. And sure enough, here comes the locksmith. She figured it out.
Oh my God.
And like called one for me.
Thank God for her. That is so good for her.
I don't know what I would have done.
Right.
Like,
well, you probably would have had to go knock on somebody's RV and freaking find your mom's Instagram or something.
I know.
And call them. Yeah.
It was terrifying. But things like that happen on the road. And like, I wish, you know, we were fixing the generator, Ashley and I, one time. And Ashley looked at me and she's like, where's our content person? Because it would make great content. But we're like in the generator. Like, we can't also hold the phone, you know.
Real.
The boys could hold the phone.
Yeah. I had to change our fuel filter yesterday, and I didn't want to get any of my clothes dirty. I had this dress on. I was like, well, this dress was $10. I guess I'm going under here in this dress. And I was FaceTiming my dad, who is a mechanic, and he was getting very annoyed with me. And I was like, dude, I'm in the middle of nowhere. I have to change this fuel filter. Like, help me out. But we got it changed, and it made me laugh because all these girls that are on the road, like, they're a little bit more manly than men 100%. At office jobs. Like, we're out here fixing generators
we
and
can
shit.
Change tires. Yeah. We can back up trailers. Like, 100%. And being on tour is so hard. Like, and we were talking about that a little bit off camera, but being a girl on the road, I mean, I'm not trying to be like, girl, but it is so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of...
And I have a 5-year-old on the road with me.
Right.
She's not here this weekend, but... Damn, dude, I'm tired.
Well, yeah, of course, because I can't even imagine. I mean, I have, I don't know where she went.
Got
she's
whiskey.
Somewhere. But a little pup, and even still, I'm like, got to do my hair, got to walk the dog.
Yes.
You know, it's wild and how, I just said this with Adam, but I'll say it again, but Paul can go, like, for a hike, and then shower and be ready in the time I just am doing makeup or something.
Totally.
It's a lot more to do and to think about.
It is. And there's always something wrong happening as well, especially on all these vans. Like I needed a van because I wasn't going to take my RV. And so I'm calling everybody I know, like, y'all got a van for sale? Heard you have a van for sale. And everybody's like trying to pawn off their 200,000 freaking mile sprinters. And I'm like, I know this is a piece of shit.
Don't do it.
Like, I'm not buying this from you. And they're like, well, we replaced this. And I'm like, yeah, because it was always broken.
Yeah.
So
I would not. I mean, my sprinter almost bankrupted my company. Like, every time I fixed this, my sprinter, it was like $4,000, $7,000.
Yep.
It was never $800. Like, it was never less than like $4,000.
Yep.
And that's it's so crazy to make that work. And I have an RV too. So that's what you travel around in?
Yeah. We're in a 2005 Mini Winnebago right now.
Oh my gosh. A Mini Winnie?
Yeah. But it's kind of a piece of shit.
But it has a new fuel filter.
I don't want to talk bad about her. I hope that she'll stay alive. But yeah, I don't know. This might be the last run with the Mini Winnebago.
Yeah, it's tough to find a good one. My RV right now just hit 100,000 miles and it's in the shop right now. And it's 3,300, which is actually, I knew that at 100,000 miles, things were going to start going downhill. But it's kind of crazy because no matter how much money you make and how well you're doing, the road expenses are just... And if you had a lot more money, we would just buy a new one. No, you know, it's it would be gone again.
It's crazy. It's so expensive. Like, I feel like the ideal situation is, like, buy a new Sprinter. Because it's going to be, like, the nicest and most comfortable. But it's, like, that would take 3 years on tour to freaking pay off a brand new Sprinter that's converted. So
they are so nice. But, ooh, to fix them. I would get a new one, though, for sure, over a used one. Because I bought mine used.
If anybody wants to sponsor us a van, we'll wrap it. And please send it our way. Thank you. Like and share it below if you know someone who will wrap us a van.
Like, for real.
No, I know.
I heard somebody got
a van that got it wrapped and they're using it. And I was like, damn, that's the deal
I did that with my trailer fan club. I was like, hey, just FYI, if anyone wants to buy us a trailer, we'll wrap it for a year or whatever. Because things just fall apart. And that's it's so wild. And people are so generous with their money. And I'm so grateful for that. But every time I look up what we need, I'm like, oh, we need $100,000. Like, we don't, you know, a couple hundred bucks, like, I need like $100,000 to make a difference.
Thank God my dad is a mechanic and also like a Facebook marketplace. Like, he's like the original person that was buying off Facebook marketplace.
Because
we're in a one horse trailer with the 2005 Mini Winnebago, both from Facebook marketplace. And also my dad has painted them, has fixed all the mechanical issues. I also have a 1986 van that I'm taking probably on just like some acoustic tours and putting a bed in the back of. He got it from my Uncle Charlie for $500, and then he did about $3,000 worth of work on it, and it's like pristine.
Okay.
It's perfect.
Yeah. I love this. Is that what you're taking on that big run? Because I was looking at your schedule. You're going everywhere pretty soon.
We're in the Winnebago right now.
Okay. So that's the one that's going on this.
Yes.
You're doing Colorado and.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of different states.
We'll be in that until it breaks.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
And it won't.
No.
It's going to just get you
through. I mean, it's a Ford. So, like, all the parts are pretty fixable, just I don't know.
I know. It's always when things are rolling really smooth with the van and the trailer and my band, I'm like, I'm never like, I'm like, something bad
is about
to happen. Because it's always a tire or a wheel bearings or something that you just, you know, and it never ends. But I'm proud of you for doing it because you're really doing it. Like, your tour schedule is crazy.
Well, thank you.
And we, you know, Adam and I were talking about just how hard it is to tour, and he said something really interesting, which was, you know, even if you have a bunch of tour buses and stuff like, and or jet, traveling in general is just
very hard.
Mm-hmm. And we do it year round and we grind it out. And I really don't think that hitting the highway and like grinding it out pays off like it used to. And I don't think that it's the way anymore.
But you know what I think? And I've been thinking about this. I usually think about this at festivals because, I don't know, like, here we have a lot of bands that are, like, road dogs, you know, that are just touring around in vans and stuff. And, like, we're talking about TikTok and stuff, and we think, like, you have to get on TikTok. You have to, like, blow up on social media to, you know, make it or whatever. But I feel like they're, especially in the Texas, Oklahoma, really even around the United States, there is, like, these Americana bars that are supporting all of us. And there is, like, an infrastructure. Like, sure, if you want to be, you know, you want to go to the next level, you want to be selling out arenas or whatever, like, yeah, go blow up on social media. But, like, there will always be an infrastructure for us, for people that just love playing music and love, like, playing these venues and stuff. And yeah, of course we want to make more money so we can like travel more luxuriously, but sometimes when people are like beating the dead horse about social media, I'm like, I'm kind of doing what I want, like, you know, I'm kind of doing what I want. Like, I don't want to follow all the trends and get on social media just to be like the next big thing. I kind of want to just play music and see where that takes me if people like my music. And right now, like, I feel like, yeah, I want to probably be in rooms that are probably the next level up from the cap I'm playing, but then I'm fucking good, man. Like, I'm good. Like, I'm having fun, you know?
Right.
I really, the only thing that I want is, like, a converted Sprinter. Like, to have AC, nice bunks. I know it's going to run. I know it's not going to break 24/7. And I would be pretty solid for like playing the shows that I'm playing.
Yeah, same. And I didn't mean that grinding it out isn't the way. I just mean that.
No, like, I agree. No, this it's is, just, yeah.
It would be nice to, you know, tour 8 months out of the year and mm-hmm. take four off. Or mm-hmm. like maybe not, you know, we were doing like 20 a month, or we did 20 shows in 22 days in 12 different states.
Jesus Christ. That's and hard I was on your like, voice.
Oh, well, yeah. And I ended up getting sick on the last show.
Yeah, damn.
And never in my life, you know, I've been doing this 15 years, never in my life, but I started coughing and I couldn't stop. And I just had to like run away. And I've never done that. Sorry, Pennsylvania. I'm so mortified. That's never happened to me, but I was just exhausted.
Yeah.
And we're driving ourselves.
Totally.
We're like, you know, we're not sleeping. It's just me and Ashley out there really grinding it.
Damn.
So,
yeah. Oh, you're playing 22 acoustic shows?
That was acoustic. Damn. Yeah. And it was a lot of miles, but I want to be able to, I'm the same way. Just because I'm not, you know, Lainey Wilson doesn't mean I'm not freaking happy and not making money. Like we're making money.
And I do agree with you about it is like grinding it out on the road is not going to break you out the way that it used to. So you're 100% right. Like I completely agree with you. I just think like it's been at least shoved down my throat that like I have to be on social media and I have to get to this next level. And I'm like, I don't know. I kind of love being around just people that are writing songs and touring around. And there's so much camaraderie with people that are touring like this. Honestly, like, these are my people, you know? And I love that.
Respect. Yeah. Same. And I love it. And you have a great band. And we're at 8750 Festival. I forgot to say that. In Red River, a bunch of our friends are here. There's two girls about to play back to back. And then
I know, and
tonight.
I was gonna try to catch Taylor Honeycutt. So.
I think if we're almost done, we can go catch her after this because I want to go see her too. She's amazing. But we're all buddies. It's never like people think. Well, I don't think they think that anymore. But at least when I started, they're like, "Oh, girls and their cat fights." Remember that whole thing that the booking agent said that? None of us don't like each other.
Totally,
we actually cheer each other on and are like, "I saw your road schedule. Like, are you okay? Do you need a hug?" Like
that, dude. You know what's crazy? Like, that's kind of exactly what I mean with the camaraderie among this scene. Is like, maybe when you get like, I know that. Oh, not to be like, damn. Sometimes I try to watch my mouth on podcasts because you never know what people are going to be commenting about. But like, when you get in Nashville, like there is like a lot of like stepping on each other's heads and like, who's trying to get this deal? Who's trying to get this deal? But like, I don't really feel that in this scene as much.
Good.
You know?
Right.
I feel like we're having fun.
We're having fun. I'm cheering for you. I'm so excited for your new project. We're going to have the Kat Hasty Brew Bagwell jewelry line coming to you sometime. We both want to make
jewelry.
Wait,
what is it?
You wanted to make jewelry and
okay.
I wanted to make jewelry.
I thought
jewelry.
You were saying you were going to give me something and I was like, are you silversmithing yet?
No.
Oh,
but it's
okay.
Still
we
in
need
my
to.
Dreams.
Yes.
We both want to make jewelry and maybe, Ashley said maybe one day we could have like a collaboration of some cool jewelry together.
Yes.
So
yes.
That would be awesome. And let's go watch Taylor. Thanks for chatting with me. You're so smart. You're so good. Your songwriting
so
is
so are you,
Bree.
And I feel like I want to interview you now and ask you all the questions you asked me.
Deal.
I like, yeah.
I'll maybe. Be like, I'm still drinking too. No, I'm just kidding. I've watched it too, Mom. I'm watching it. We're being professionals over here. And we're going to go watch Taylor.
You and your mom
Thank
tight?
You. Oh, we're so tight.
Did she help you a lot when you started out in the industry?
She's just
always there?
Just a cheerleader.
I love that.
You know, she wasn't like, don't do this. She was like, go for it, girl.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, she's
That's
always
awesome.
Front row and singing along. And
hell yeah, good for you.
I love her.
That.
She's,
love that.
Oh, I can't talk too much about mama. Start crying.
Aww.
Mom, I love you. Okay, thank
That's
you,
awesome.
Girlfriend.
Yes, thank you, Bree.
KatHasty.com. Could have been in you and Kalispell. If you'd have grown up and made something of yourself. Hey guys, this is Bree Bagwell with the Only Bands podcast. I'm here with my friend Joe Fink at Hand Drawn Records, and you guys print my vinyls. Vinyls are back, baby. Well, they've been back for a while, right?
Records have been around for a long time, man, and they've always been cool, but now everybody wants one. They want to take them home. So.
That's right. And the way that I look at it, too, is like people want something to hold. They want something to sign. They want something that they can actually listen to, which are not CDs anymore. So I'm just thrilled with you guys, because to me, printing a vinyl is kind of a daunting process, but you have a team that really walks you through that. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a nightmare, you know, and it is challenging for a lot of people. Independents aren't usually making records, so this is the first time they're getting into the vinyl scene, and they don't know all the ways to go. And that's the thing that we like to do, is help you find your way and walk you through it and get you where you need to be. We're an independent plant, and independent artists are our game. I go to festivals all the time, shows all the time, and it's just basically to see people that we make records for or we want to make records for.
Yeah, absolutely. And what are some of the things that you can do? Because I know my last vinyl, we reprinted my last vinyl. We need to reprint the one before that, but I got to change up the color of the vinyl. So I don't know, just maybe talk about some of the things that you can do with your vinyls that I didn't even know you could do.
There's just so much out there. Everybody wants the cool colors, you know, so we've got all the colors that you could look for. We can do custom colors for you, you know. We can take a look at your artwork and see what you're dealing with there and help you decide a color that matches and goes right with what it is that you're creating already. All the cool splatter stuff that's going on. And yeah, it's really your imagination is kind of the limit. But if we can't make it, we'll try to make it. And if we can, we'll make it really cool.
Yeah, and you put, like, download cards can be put in there. You know, all different. I'm about to do a double vinyl, and you had a really cool idea of, oh, are we pausing? Go for it. This isn't a professional podcast. We're just
hanging out on the bridge.
We're just top 10% of the world over here. like, for example, yesterday I was just spitballing ideas about my new double vinyl with you, and you said something that I thought was cool. You had great ideas, which I'm not going to spill them on here, but you had really cool ideas, and you said something like, you're a vinyl consultant.
Yeah.
You are.
I am. I love working with artists and just helping them say, you know, look at a side of it that they probably didn't think about before. You know, they're like, I didn't even know we could do that. You know,
right. That's
an option. Yeah. And it could make it really cool and make it really desirable, because
Yeah. Everybody
wants your record. But if you do something else to make it that much more special, you know, personalized.
Mm-hmm. Numbered.
Yeah.
We talked about doing that yesterday, numbering the vinyls. Anyway, and they're also made in Texas near Dallas and Farmers Branch, which is really cool. And when you get hand-drawn pressing to print your records, you also get a friend. So there's also that. Well, thanks for joining me. Website or how to contact would be?
HandDrawnRecords.com, HandDrawnPressing.com. We're on all the socials. I'm Joe Fink. I'm really not that hard to find, so Bree knows how to get a hold of me. So yeah,
that's right.
If you see me, come up and say hi. If I don't come up and see you first,
and they have great quality product. I've been using them. They're the only ones I will use. So you got the Bree Bagwell stamp of approval for what it's worth.
Whiskey and Bree all the way.
That's right. HandDrawnPressings.com.